All right, we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. We just ask for wisdom. We thank you for spirit of hope. We thank you, Lord God. People go, when you pray for hope, gosh, it's got to be bleak. No, it's not. So Lord, we just thank you for a spirit of hope. We just thank you for pathways of light. We thank you right now that you give us wisdom. I thank you for a spirit of cartography this morning, a spirit of mapping. I thank you, Lord God, that whoever listens to this, you're going to give them strategy and you're going to give them keys. And I just thank you, Lord God, that we are excited, aren't we? Amen. And amen. All right. Double amen and powerful prayer. All right. Okay. So this morning we are doing mapping, but we're going to map through the prophetic and through the Logos. And in times past, when people go, I'm into mapping. Now, for anyone that's been around for any reasonable period of time, you go, okay, so we're mapping demons. People going to sit in and, this demon and that demon. And, you know that's what, there's a demon there and a chair as well. You know, everywhere. People in chains and they're going to hell, you know. And as that mapping type of thing, I actually did say that at the Australian Prophetic Summit. People went into shock and laughed and weren't sure if it was legal to laugh because of the shock in the midst of the laughter. And I didn't care. So basically, so it's great to get a heads up on what the powers of darkness are. And does say in Corinthians that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, but we don't get obsessed with Satan's devices. And what happens if you're going to get breakthrough, map God's will, map his strategy, map his purpose. Then when you go to implement and the darkness comes out, you've actually got something to wage warfare with. So we love mapping because I've learned that God wants us to journey. See, you learn things on the journey. So we just go, just give me the answer and I'm out of here. No, God doesn't want that. He wants us to walk with him. And on the journey, we learn things because it's the kingdom of heaven has a lot of nuanced facets, okay? So we're going to map. So when I was preparing and just the scripture started to open up. Now, something that's very important is we actually have to let God's word speak to us. And there's a chance, there is the very, very, very slight chance, not you guys, but the people watching, is that there are filters of wrong thinking that limit God. And we have to let the word of God speak. And when you let the word of God speak like this, I was just like, man, this is crazy. So you'll be encouraged. And there'll be a way forward, but we might not have a binary answer. So from something like today, I hope it throws you into the word like a noble Berean and search the scriptures, because I know for me, I think it's quite healthy. I'm not into dishonoring leadership, but I have really healthy trust issues in so much as I don't trust that much. I trust the Lord. And if someone says something that inspires me, do you know what I do? I go and look it up. And when I look it up, it gets cemented in there. So I want to encourage or even push you into deeper into the Holy Ghost, the spirit of prophecy, testimony of Jesus, but the Logos. So this just sort of opened up how it opened up. Anyway, here we go. Yes, this is a book that people don't usually read all that much. It's Habakkuk. And because I'm like saying, Lord, the word of the Lord, what are you saying? Speak to me. And he started speaking to me through a passage of scripture that he quickened to me at the beginning of last year. Now, I want to, because now we have more data, the data is in, okay? The prophetic is settled, no. So Habakkuk, he was actually asking God questions, because the backdrop of it was Habakkuk actually thought God had removed himself from the affairs of the earth. He actually thought that he'd sort of like stepped back and just watching everyone, you know. And he was questioning this. And so the backdrop of Habakkuk is possible invasion from Babylon. So there was unrest because they were seeing wars. They reckon it might have been written just after the fall of Nineveh. They weren't like it's a bit sketchy. Surmise, but it's not super, super duper 100%. Anyway, so the backdrop, and so there's unrest. And obviously Babylon, Judah wasn't doing that great. And so themes and words at the beginning in chapter one, these are common words. And I want to see if any of this, if the word fits our current situation. It would be interesting. Iniquity, trouble, plundering, violence, strife, contention. The law is powerless. Justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous and perverse judgments. I wonder if any of those fit into today's day and age. And so he was overwhelmed about the situation. This is a prophet. And so what happened is that I started to dig into this and it just opened up like crazy. And I'm going, wow. Now, so most of you dream, not all, most, okay? And then you got the crazy supernatural dreams. And then you got the visions. And when you go into the spiritual world is weird, but superior weird, not mental weird, okay? Because it's like, we're talking like it's just a whole nother level. And you're like, but you know, like if I like for me, if I've got to, there's an issue in church and I have to speak to someone, let's just say they're doing the wrong thing by people. I've got to take in all the data points. Because Paul says, he said, you know what? You've got to judge those in your own house. We've got this, remember, we're actually going to talk a little bit about judgment this morning. And judgment is in like, we're going to spiritually body slam someone through on a punitive level. It does not mean that. Sometimes there's leaven and you've got to, you know, clear up any misunderstandings, etc. But if there's a leaven, a situation, I've got to sit down and then I've got to take in as many data points as possible. And then I've got to feel what is the Lord wants. And I can't do it in the fear of man. And I can't do it in the spirit of a bully. Unfortunately, too many people have been bullied by leaders. And so they start to see judgment as a really negative thing. It's actually not. Judgment is administrating and stewarding kingdom realities and bringing things back into proper alignment. We need judgment. So it's not like punishment, etc. So I would say maybe, apart from feeling that the weight of the Spirit of the Lord, I've got to take in maybe up to a dozen data points, right? I've got to take in all these data points. Think about how many data points God has to take in when he brings a judgment. Maybe a million. He has to weigh every heart in that situation. Their motivation, their background, the possibility of repent. We're talking, wow. Can you imagine taking in a million data points to make a judgment? You can't. It's like, just too much. And so we have this really, really interesting situation. And I want to establish that. I want you guys to be so in awe of God's wisdom, his judgment, his mercy, and his love. Because as you get into the Word of God, see, if you find the Bible boring, you're not reading it right. Because it speaks. It speaks. And it is the final authority, people don't like that. So, but the Lord spoke to me this year and said, this is happening now in the world, even though it's for Judah before the Babylonian invasion, he says for now. Okay, got it. Okay, so when we're gonna talk a little bit about judgment. So if we could just read the Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 3-6. God came from Taman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. Pause and meditate. Now, before we go any further, you go, all right, there's a setting of a story. It's a prophetic word setting a story. Yes and no. Did you know that Mount Paran, a couple of times in the Bible, is actually Mount Sinai? Mount Horeb, Mount Paran are one and the same. So all of a sudden, he's prophesying, but he's gone back to when God visited the Israelites through Moses. Yet it's thousands of years afterwards. Well, not thousands, but close. So God came from Taman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens. He's describing something that's happened, but now is. And the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand or lights flashing from his hand, or lightning. That's more of a transliteration, that last one. But there his power was hidden in his right hand. Before him went pestilence. So I got this at the beginning of last year. I'm like, okay. Quickened to me, go, oh, I've read that before. Where's that? It got quickened to me. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth, or he stood and judged the earth. Or he stood and shook the earth. You know, it's really interesting. The Hebrew word for shook is mood. Our God is a moody God. No, he's not. He's not. He's in a good mood. But that's really interesting, because he's shaking everything. I want to we'll just keep that up there. Boy. Everything's been shaken. Everything. And when you think it's been shaken, it shakes even more. It's like we're talking, wow. You've got, Jesus said, now, he said, I didn't come to bring peace, but bring a sword. I'm even going to divide families. Now, remember, some of the issues that people are grappling with, and I'm stating the captain obvious, what we've been navigating lately. But everyone has to make decisions according to their level of faith. No one should be able to violate that. Is it you? And that's the freedom of religion, freedom of conscience. And so everything's been shaken, and you're seeing society divided. Everything's been shaken. When you think that someone's in a position of smug power, they get shaken. There's been people standing down from the Victorian government this last week. From certain findings of corruption, you've got things happening. We've got like, and wow, I'm just my editing machine's just floating in the air at the moment. But just like so many, my wife's in a joy. I say that, she goes, oh, restraint. So at the moment, just there's not even a close second. I've never. Like looked at news, and everything can change in a day. Everything's been shaken. Now, God can't be shaken. Hanging out with the Holy Ghost and building in obedience, it actually cannot be shaken. It can't be shaken. So don't worry about it. If you're stressed about it, then you're trying to build with shaky things. Don't worry about it. Build with the unshakable things. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken, for we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So when it says he measured the earth, he's shaken the earth. You know, fishy! No, kidding. Nemo. We're not doing that. No, it's not like that. But it was, sorry, Lord, I repent. All right, so that was quick, wasn't it? I'm impressed. But everything's been shaken. And, you know, I'm going to go there. All right, so I can't see into people's hearts, nor do I want to. I don't want to. I can't see into people's hearts. But what happens is that, like, I go, how do I know what someone's marks are? Like, are they an A, B, C, D? Credit? You don't know until they do a test. And then you look down at it and you go, well, it doesn't. This is the test. This is what the results are. Everything's being shaken. Everything's being tested, and it's actually not that hard to see where people are at, because you only have to see their reaction or their response to what's that happening. Then you can see. And we do need a more militant church. It's great to sing about the Lion of the Tribe of Judah and all, you know, draw lions and eagles and stuff. And then we're just domesticated kittens. Serious. Come on. All right, if the animal fits, wear it. And so, wow, like a tiger. Anyway, and so at the moment, everything's been shaken, and we know, I mean, again, I'm not telling you guys to go out there and, you know, but like I said, I went out yesterday and I could see people, they're putting it all on the line. They're putting it all on the line. And last week we talked about mass psychology, psychological warfare, and dissenting voices. If there's not enough dissenting voices, totalitarianism comes in quick. Week before that, we're talking about the transhuman agenda. It's not conspiracy theory, it's actually happening. And so this stuff's really happening. So the shaking reveals hearts. It really does. The only thing that you are or what you have is what you keep under pressure. So the encouraging thing is build in God, build in the Spirit. And even if you use the things of the Spirit to disassociate from responsibility, it still isn't real and will not work. So he came and he stood and measured the earth or shook the earth or mooted the earth. He looked and startled the nations. Wow. Now, for me, I'm just saying this, is that I am really unhappy with a lot of government stuff, in case you were wondering. But that being said, I'm not in their position and I'm not standing under the pressure they're standing under. I can only surmise. And obviously shows you that the masses are at the mercy of governmental decisions, especially legislation. But we're still not under that pressure. And I shudder to think the pressure that leaders of nations are under must be massive. And so that they're being shaken. So what's going to come out of leaders? Conviction? Conscience, purely tenure, fear of man. Yeah, very interesting, because everything's been shaken. We can't take for granted that leaders are immune to this. They're being shaken, okay? So I think that at the moment, God's coming down, shaking the earth, and he's looking and startled the nations. The everlasting mountains were scattered. There's something about mountains, something about hills. Is that we've been talking about that Obadiah 1:17, in Zion there will be deliverance, there will be holiness, and people will possess their possessions. There's a dimension we're going to talk about that God says it's available. It's available. All sorts of cool things the Lord spoke to me during the week, which I have to walk out and unpack for a period of time before I preach on it, but it's real, okay? It's one of those things that has to bear fruit. I mean, it sort of is, but shut up. All right, and the everlasting mountains were scattered and the perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. And so what we have here, obviously we've got the familiarity and the parallelism between pestilence and fever. The nations are startled, but there literally are deeper cycles and patterns involved. Now, I don't believe that history in the world is going, you know, like a merry-go-round. You know, and then you just, you know, nearly all of us have had kids. You know, you put your kids on the merry-go-round, and like this, they come round, you're like, you know, you're happy for them. So I don't believe history's like that. I don't believe it's an endless cycle. So for some, because I believe it's cyclical, but it's going somewhere. I believe it's going somewhere. For some, it's circling the drain. Yeah. For the devil, he's circling the drain. Yeah. When you hit the flush button, he's circling the drain. For others, what's happening, and you don't want to be in that number, by the way. For others, if you've got eagles, they go in a cyclical pattern, but they go upward. They catch the thermals. Those who wait upon the Lord will mount up on wings of eagles. But also too, another way I've never had a baby, but I'm married to someone who has. She's had a couple, and all of a sudden it's sort of like this and this, like, and then you got birth pangs, and it grips you, and you've got that soul like this, and then it eases, oh, and then it's like we're talking, those are in cycles. So we're going to see that there's a lot bigger cycles taking place. So let's go back. What we're going to do is, this is written maybe 2,500 years ago plus, okay, it is, from Habakkuk, but he goes right back to Mount Sinai. So why are we reading about this today? It's because there are cycles, and the cycles are really freaky, and I'm geeking out. So what we're going to do is we're going to read. So Deuteronomy is that they gave the covenant, the law in Exodus. They rejected the initial offer. They wanted a worse covenant because they didn't want to be close to God. They didn't want to walk in obedience. It was going to cost them. So they said, Moses, you be close to God. We'll just hear from you. And they understood that it was a type of a covenant that was actually going to bind God to punish their disobedience and self-righteousness and their enemies attacking them. So that's why you have all that like sort of crazy stuff happening because God was going to drive out the Hittites, Perizzites, etc. He's going to drive them out with hornets. You read it. So they said, nah, we don't want this awesome covenant. We want a lower level covenant where we can just sort of like be consumers or sort of modern day Christians who don't want to pay the price. Similar thing. And his Lord says, oh, but they would, you know, they would have a heart to obey. Then you've actually got, then you've got Numbers and you've got the wilderness wanderings and boy, fail, 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 fail. Then Deuteronomy, they'd failed so badly that in Deuteronomy, what happened was, they repeated the covenant terms, but they had to downgrade the covenant even further because Israel, it wasn't an equal footing. Before it was, yeah, I won't go into the technicality of all of that. So we have a summary of what God did in Deuteronomy, also to new terms of the covenant, okay? And it says, he says, cursed will you be in this place and that place, or blessed will you be. He says, choose life that you may live. So we see at the end of this a summarization, which is fascinating. It talks about an element that we don't hear about when God visited the earth. And we're going to read it in Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. And it says here, and he said, the Lord came from Sinai. So before they said Mount Paran, okay? And dawned on them from Seir, and he shone forth from Mount Paran. This is it blows my mind. And he came with 10,000 of his saints. Wait, what? When the Lord manifested through Moses, he came with 10,000 of his saints. Who thinks that's a bit freaky? People are like going. From his right hand came a fiery law for them. Does that sound familiar? From his right hand, he held power, flash forth rays. And he came with 10,000 saints and from his right hand came a fiery law for them. And you're going, whoa, hang on, this is really offensive to me. You know, you're getting a bit old Catholic communion of the saints deal, a bit offended. Let the Bible offend you. Maybe you're missing it. We've got to read it how it's written. Now, you go, all right. So what you'll find is that the word in the, well, it just says in the New Testament, just hagios, but in the Old Testament here, it's like holy ones where, and saints, holy ones. Surely they're angels. But I've been told that, well, it does say there's going to be angels coming back with the Lord, but it also says saints. So you're saying that when God visited Israel through Moses, that the cloud of witnesses turned up on steroids. I'm not saying it, the Bible is. And it starts to blow your grid. So can we cross-reference? So it says here, so how many, go back to it, please. I'll get, just love this. All right, yeah. And the Lord came from Mount Sinai and dawned on them from Mount Seir and he shone forth from Mount Paran. How many saints did he come with? Yeah. It's 10,000. So can we please go to the next scripture, which is really interesting, okay? Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with how many? 10,000 of his saints. Whoa. So you've gone from Habakkuk, you've gone back into the giving of the law, and now you're going into the future? Yep, I'm not, the word is. And you start to see deep level cycles that blow your mind. Surely when they say that, but the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. Sorry, yep, next. I think this is another one. Why? To execute judgment on all and convict those who are ungodly. I mean, the word ungodly is a bit repeated here, but you know. To execute judgment on all, to convict those who are ungodly among them all of their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way. And so you've got this crazy, and all those, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against God. So you've got Habakkuk says, God came from Mount Paran. The nations were startled. Pestilence went before him, fever at his feet. He had power. There is power was hidden in his right hand. Here it says his power was hidden. Same thing, same mountain, right? And the Lord says the everlasting mountains were scattered, the perpetual hills bowed. That in the spirit, mountains and hills were bowed. God's presence is so awesome. But the point I want to make is that why did he come with all those saints? Because we've cross-referenced. And in case you're wondering, is that what I've experienced is that I have dreams about people from the Bible. Why would I do that? Is it devotional regurgitation? Is it a soulish sort of like recycling? Is I've had vivid encounters with saints, because what I generally find is either they're connected to an unfinished mandate, where it says in Hebrews 11 that they would not be made perfect apart from us. Can you imagine? My personal belief is, this is anecdotal, it's my opinion, but if you get obsessed with the book of Romans and the righteousness that comes by faith, and what it is that you're already crucified and you bear great fruit, that actually goes into Paul's account. It does. And it actually is a how to do manual for the church age. So it's an unfinished mantle, but what I find too, it's also a judgment. So if Noah appears to you, then what you've got, it's a judgment. Is there going to be judgment on darkness and preservation for the godly? Can someone say amen? And Gideon's the same. So generally speaking, this is why the saints. So what you got, so you go, well, with Moses, you're not going to see Gideon or any of those guys. You're probably going to see Adam and Seth and Methuselah, Noah, right? I did see a great meme the other day. It's like when people get to heaven and Adam's like, seriously, honestly, when everyone goes up to Adam, Adam's like, seriously, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, my bad. We're related, so we can't hold a grudge. Anyway, so they wouldn't be made perfect apart from us. So you go, it's still a bit sketchy around this cloud of witnesses deal. I don't know. I know there are scriptures in Matthew that says he's coming back with his angels. So when scripture says angels and another scripture says saints, it's both. It's both. Okay. So let's just put this one to rest. Let's read Revelation 19. It says here, now I saw heaven open and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one else knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. That, my friends, are saints. Whether it's you, me, people from the past, I don't have the timelines down. But I tell you what, right now, it says, you know, when we anticipate all these things, we cleanse our garments with the blood of Jesus. We're the people where linen talks about priesthood. Linen breathes, you know, awesome fabric except for the ironing part. And then you get the cord trapped underneath it. Oh, okay, just move that and then this bit. There's a seam, you know. However, it breathes. And so, good boy. All right. And so you have this, it's crazy. Even what I'm going to, I mean, I want to take it another level, because we're just going to drill down, because I don't think we understand really, we're made in the image of God and what we're like. But let's look at the next one. Once Jesus died, resurrected, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. The kingdom of God is crazier, weirder, and way more awesome, because with every decision he makes, he's got to take into consideration maybe a billion data points. He's got to get it just right. His ways are beyond finding out. His judgments are to be desired more than gold. Yes, much fine gold. So we have in Habakkuk a cycle that's already happened, that will happen, and that we're in now. The Lord is visiting the earth, And you go, well, all right, how does that work? I'll tell you why. This is awesome. This is awesome. Because I want to be able to take a timeless principle and place it in the now, okay? And that's this. Part of judgment is separation. So when God came down and Mount Sinai or Mount Paran or Mount Horeb is that he came to bring judgment, but first he needed to separate his people from darkness. And that preceded judgment. That's exactly, we see that as a precedent. So we're wondering, but who would think it's a really good idea to know the mechanics and principles behind judgment? I think that would behoove us to know what that looks like. So when he came down, because he wants to drive out the inhabitants of the land and give it to God's people, it's precedent. It's hidden in the word. Did you not know that you will judge angels? Did you not know that you're a co-heir with Christ and you inherit all things? We just got to get delivered of the whole Christianity deal. We really do. Your sons. You don't decide to not be a son. You got to really do a good job to unson yourself. Really good, like professional, like over time, really persistent, that you didn't show in prayer. Serious. I gave it my best shot. Didn't work. Didn't take. All right. So you start to see there's something about separation. So Lord, he goes, I'm gonna bring judgment. I'm gonna come down. I'm gonna manifest in my glory. Everything's gonna shake. But I want my people to draw to me, and darkness will be judged. This is really important because there's a precedent. Firstly, you've got to separate light from darkness. So we're going to ground this out in a principle in Matthew. Very good. He said to him, an enemy has done this. This is one of the parables of Jesus. The servant said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? This is the wheat and the tares. But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. So this is what I want you to do. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. After that, which must come first, gather the wheat into my barn. And you're going, oh my gosh. So when God's manifesting through Habakkuk, that he's already done in Sinai and he's doing in the book of Jude, there's also the visitation of the Lord on the earth. See, right now we're being visited and there's a separation taking place. Don't try and be like everyone and don't try and please everyone. If people don't like you, then you're in the Jesus Club. You are. So what's happening is separation precedes judgment. I mean, this is awesome. I'm reading this going, oh, wow. Because rather than all of a sudden these giant foots coming out of the sky, and we just got to like, hopefully just make it, there's so much more protocol. And it actually says, far be it from God to destroy the righteous with the wicked. Come on, you can hang your hat on that one. And so we're called to walk with him and obey him, but first you must gather up the tares and burn them and then gather the wheat into the barn. And so at the moment, a separation is taking place. You know, like the plagues in Egypt, separation, Goshen. It was dark everywhere except for Goshen. Goshen's like an ark. This is fascinating. Because the deeper you go into the Logos, you go, God, you're a genius. You are a genius. You are a genius. You know the answer before we know the question. So at the moment, I believe there's a separation taking place. So walk closely with God and be confident. Come on. Who knows? It's a significant revelation. It is. And so this is why we need a pathway. And it's not exact, but boy, it'll do. And so what happens is that, how did Habakkuk respond to this? Now, I'm reading this. Now, I saw things in it I've never seen before, like that good. I'm just going, he spoke to all these different people. From a cupbearer to a king to fishermen, And he says the same stuff in different ways. There's so many similarities between Ezekiel and Revelation, like a lot. I'll tell you what, right now, you'll see something here, because what we've done, we've gone Habakkuk, and we've drawn a parallel, a cycle back to Sinai, and you go, not only is that crazy, but it happened with 10,000 of his saints. Did the people of Israel see them? That's an interesting question. Did they come on horses? I don't know, but they're 10,000. Then we read in Jude that the saints, the 10,000 saints, come back to do judgment and to get rid of any ambiguity. It says when they come back with Jesus, it's going to be, they're going to be wearing on white horses, fine white linen. So whenever God visits the earth, is there a massive manifestation of the cloud of witnesses? Come on. Again, let's just smash any sort of like limiting factors in our brain. I just love this. Now, I can speak for myself and probably our core team. Is it, you know, with time we're a bit, you know, there's a bit going on, getting a bit tired. But I've never found the heavens to be more open. Never, 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 never. Had so many dreams and encounters. Like if you lean in, God speaks. I mean, praise God. So you want to see the principle of separation before judgment, okay? Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness of the people, but his light and his glory will be seen over you. People will be drawn from the nations. That's separation unto judgment. Who's excited? But so you can lean into this principle and not go, oh, God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. That in itself is amazing. God loves his people. Did you know that precious in his eyes is the death of his saints? Anytime a saint passes away, it's a major deal. And he does not rejoice at all when the ungodly die. Okay? So I'm not trying to make just some sort of, you know, kingdom click called the church. You know, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous who do not need repentance. We know that. And so here's Habakkuk's response. He started off questioning and then he's on a journey, but it's mind-blowing and it's going to show us something very powerful. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit tree, nor the fruit be on the vine. So in the natural, everything's okay? You can quote me. Though the labour of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and Habakkuk, seriously, this is getting pretty downerish. And there's everything's bad, and there'd be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills. Now that's a hilarious translation. I see, understand, we're talking about the trans movement the other day. But anyway, we're talking, he makes me walk on my high hills, not even looking at my wife. And so basically, it actually means in the, when you go down the original language, heavenly places, high dimensions, okay? So high hills so with deer's feet, hang on, chief musician, string instruments, bingo, all right. So with high places is this, you got a plateau, maybe at the top of the mountain, but generally like this, the way's narrow. If you have deer's feet, you can actually walk in very narrow, steep paths. You've got specialized feet. So that's why it gives a speciality to walk in heavenly places. Now, if you want, I'll just be flat out, just spell it out. If you want to walk in the supernatural, your lifestyle will be limited. Don't kid yourself. I'm wrestling with some things myself, but it's like life or death. Okay, let me pray about that. So, heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So you go, so he wants Habakkuk to walk in heavenly dimensions like Psalm 91. So what he does is this, is Habakkuk first believes, because it's the there's only a couple of times in the Old Testament it talks about faith. The rest of the word is trust. And it says the just shall live by faith. But basically, then he functions in faith, but he rejoices. At this time, here's this. Again, it's reinforcing what we already know, is this. We are called to first believe the Lord, and then we're called to walk in heavenly places. We're not called just to find refuge only. If you genuinely find that you're walking in a heavenly place, you will still function, you will still minister, you will still walk with other people. You don't just disappear. You don't just sort of like going, oh, I hope I make it, because you're in such a superior place. So he was able to look at the circumstances and bridge it by faith. Rejoice. When you rejoice, you actually bring the kingdom of heaven. God dwells in the praises of his people, and we know that. This is amazing. But we're seeing, I believe in history, a manifestation of God's judgment that is bringing first a separation. Don't try and be the captain of the popularity club. It's not going to work. We said to people the other day, praying about decisions in regards to employment, etc. Hear from God. Do it in faith and not in fear. Do it in faith and not in fear. So, okay. Now, this may be the only time I ever do this, ever, but we're going to read from the NASB. Now, before you put it up, this is the pathway. I want you to research this and look. This is really exciting. So it talks about when God manifested. He said the Lord came down Mount Paran, Taman. You know who that is? That comes from the east. Comes from the east. What comes up in the east every day? The sun. So there's a typology. It's God's going to manifest like the sun coming up in the east. Wouldn't it be interesting if we could find a few more data points and almost cement that in a point of focus so we can bring it into manifestation? I think so. So let's read from the NASB. It says here, Habakkuk, God comes from Taman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Pause and meditate. We don't have time. His splendor covers the earth, and the earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight. It's a picture of the sun rising. He has rays flashing from his hand, and there is no, and there is the hiding of his power. And so, yeah. And it talks about his radiance is like the sunlight. So that first, now, I'll tell you what, I don't mind sunrise. I don't like sunrise when I've got no sleep. Terrible thing, that. You know, had a bad night's sleep, and all of a sudden you're falling asleep, and you're exhausted, and you start hearing birds moving. They got a little claw and they go, and you go. I used to do, when I was 18, I used to work at the Adelaide Casino. Don't judge me, I hated it. And I did the night shift, and I'd get in that car and I would drive home, and my dreaded part of the day is that sun, just when it breaks over the Adelaide Hills, ting! I was seriously like a vampire. Go home, couldn't blacken my curtains enough, you know, like this. But there's something about that rising of the sun. And so there's a picture here. Now, what I want to do is I want to paint to you an eschatological picture. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. So when he says that in Habakkuk, it's like the sun coming up in the east, all right, because that's where around where the Edomites were, all that sort of thing. I won't go into all the archaeological, historical, anthropological stuff. I want you to just go with the metaphor, the typology. So let's just draw a parallel. We're going to do two more scriptures, and then we're going to land. So let's actually draw a line. Let's go Malachi. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. What did we just hear before? Is it be he's like the sunlight? What does it say in Isaiah 60? Arise. That's the first thing we do, okay? So, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. It's going to arise for those who fear his name, okay? With healing in his wings, as forget not all his benefits, and you shall go out. and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. That's not very Christian. Okay. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of Moses, my servant. So we're going back to this. We're going back to this. The Son of Righteousness, Habakkuk, the God manifesting like the sunrise. He's like the sunlight. And then we go back to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, Mount Paran. And now it's going back to Moses again, even though we've got these parallels. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all of Israel with the statutes and the judgments. The Bible's amazing. Can someone say amen? It's amazing. David says, because I meditate on your word, I'm wiser than all my teachers. I'm wiser than the ancients. Get into it. Amen. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord. And so we have this. And what's interesting, he said that when the Son of Righteousness manifests with healing in his wings, you shall go out and grow like fat, stall-fed calves. But what did Habakkuk complain about or say initially before his statement of faith? It says, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. But when the light of God manifests, you'll be like stall-fed calves. And you start to see, can our perception and our cooperation work in tandem with the sovereignty of God? Because you start to see, this isn't just sort of like, yep, just watching for the signs, cool, he's coming, yep, brilliant. No, it's way deeper than that. He wants our cooperation. The Great Commission never stops. Never stops. You have a look at that, like I said, these marches, people are asking questions. We need church out there. Seriously, and not, yeah. Okay, all right. And so, this is what I love. So right now, I believe we're in a place where there's separation and you can be in but not of, in the world but not of the world, because God's bringing judgment, because God's visiting the earth. God's visiting the earth. And if you don't lean into him, you'll get overcome with darkness and fear and anxiety and anger. I do. I get angry. How am I meant to believe this feces? Really? Seriously, some of these journalists are just flat out evil. Some of them are just like, you are just a pharmaceutical cheerleader. Give me a P. Give me an H. Give me an A. Give me an R. You know, sponsored by, you know, the beginning of Soros. You know what I'm saying? So anyway. All right. Now here we go. Last scripture. Then communion. So then communion. Don't get it now. I don't want to hear any Velcro. All right. So. Maybe vaccines were going to cure cancer. Did you read that in the advertiser? Flipping La Cornu Times. Bring that back. Sunday Mail. Does anyone ever get this? Do not put your hand up if you still get the Sunday Mail. That stuff is pretty much a doorstop. Good. You feel your brain's falling, you know, like you chose the wrong growl type deal when you read that rubbish. All right. For here we go. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. At his baptism, yeah, water baptism, no. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were on the Mount of Transfiguration with him. You know what it says here? The Holy Mountain. So they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, but they were actually in Zion. So now Peter is revealing the key that they learned on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know that Jesus hung out with the disciples for 40 days and discipled them and things, because John didn't record this part. And John said, if everything that Jesus taught and did couldn't be contained in all the books of the world, those 40 days, he had an amazing meeting of 500 people. We're talking like how powerful people died for their faith. And so here, Peter is revealing the secrets of the Mount of Transfiguration. So when you read this, it should be with that lens. So, and we heard his voice which came from heaven, which when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you would do well to heed as a light. Remember the sunlight that shines in a dark place. Don't look for external glory. This is where it shows you where it's at. It's a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star, where? Rises in where? A heart. You start to realize that all these external pyrotechnics and spectacular doings are now in the, always were in the spirit, but now it's in the temple. The glory of the latter will be greater than the former. So we hold firmly the prophetic word, even more surely than before. Because what happens is this, that morning star that appears when you wake up or you before you go to bed because you're on shift work, the sky is dark and you see that one star. You know what happens when you see that star? You know the day's about to shine. Guess where we're meant to see the star? Here. Here. Come on. I'm not preaching against the sovereignty of God. I'm not. But also too, you have Mary at the wedding feast of Cana brought forward his time of visitation. If you had enough people understanding that God would not judge the righteous with the wicked, he firstly separates, but that is contingent on the obedience of God's people. If we can get the church to get so into the word and prayer and doing the Great Commission, walking in the Spirit, the morning star rises in our hearts before the day dawns. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, you everlasting doors, so that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, mighty, strong, in battle. I'll tell you what, you have more to do with the manifestation of the glory of the Lord on the earth than you understand. Can someone shout hallelujah? It's not going to judge the righteous with the wicked. So we have to rejoice. So we are walking on those high mountains as high hills. It'll be a narrow way. But I tell you what, we're there. This is exciting. But now we're in a place. But I'm just reading the Bible and it's just jumping off the page. It's not me. I can't come up with this stuff. And you start to see how good God is, and he's prepared everything before you needed what you before you knew what you needed to be prepared. Right now, God's saying, walk closely with me in faith, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. But I've got pain, I've got to be, shut up. Process it once. Because then it'll keep you in the wilderness. If it becomes a needle stuck on a record, but it's just a bit of a complaint. Well, let's have a look at Bible precedent, murmurings, kept you out of the promises. Because I believe and therefore I spoke in the same spirit of faith we minister. So have a bit of a bellyache to your nearest and dearest or whatever that looks like, and then get on with it. Because you get what you say, you get what you believe. Can someone say amen? But this is an empowering word because the nations are being shaken. And you, part of a kingdom that cannot be built in the spirit. Don't whinge, don't complain. Get into worship and see things from his perspective. I'm excited. Because here is a pathway going, oh my gosh, I've never read that before. I haven't seen it like that. I have in bits and pieces, but not put it together like that. I love God's word. I love his word. Holy Ghost, get your communions out. Cue pads. Huh. Hallelujah. Wow. Genius of the Lord. The genius of the Lord. And it says, those who are wise shall shine. And it says, those who know their God will do great exploits. what a time in history to know God. You know what? He does the exploits. We just have to turn up. You know that politics is just turning up? Praying for the sick is turning up. Do you know what? This is just like, I'm going to confess something. If I was to look at all the times I've laid hands on someone and seen them healed, the most powerful ones, like the miracles, I felt nothing. I felt nothing. I just turned up. How good is that? Don't think all of a sudden you've got to have a kaleidoscope mantle and go through the creatures with the wheels and then all of a sudden you see fire from the altar. No, you just do it. You just turn up. Turn up. Be diligent. I tell you, he's going to do crazy miracles. Crazy miracles. We're in exciting times. I'll pray and then we'll dismiss the meeting. Lord, just thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You are our shepherd. You are our great shepherd, the overseer of our souls. You are the chief shepherd. Thank you for comforting people. Thank you for providing pathways of hope. Thank you for providing pathways. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you right now. We just decree as we pray on behalf of those making difficult decisions. I thank you for supernatural provision. I thank you for mortgages paid off. I thank you food arriving at the door. I thank you bills being paid. I thank you for crazy favor. I thank you for cars being given, not bad ones. We don't want hand-me-down things. No, this is beauty, mate. No worries. Just needs an engine. So I've bought some of them before. Lord, I just thank you. We just thank you for blessing your people. Thank you that we live in exciting times. Thank you for your faithfulness through your word, through your spirit, and bless this communion to our bodies, which brings life. In Jesus' name, amen.